I'm going to be looking in, this is the fourth series, the fourth part of the series that I've had on the Sermon of the Mount. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and today is going to be, Your will be done, Thy will be done. We'll be taking it out of let's go to Luke 11 in your Bibles this morning. All right, Luke 11, 1 through 4. He says, it came to pass that as he was praying, in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have been looking on our last four visits together. We looked at the elements of the Lord's Prayer as we break this down, the elements of the Lord's Prayer. The first time we were together, it's the elements of we have to have a personal relationship with God, our Father. See, we must be born again. He has to be your Father. Second time we were together, we go to Him by faith, which art in heaven. We can't see God or faith. It's a spirit world. You can't see those things. Jesus was God with skin on. You can't see God. And so when we go to Him, we go to Him in faith. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then the third part of it was worship. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. We have to recognize that God's name is holy. It's a holy name. We already went through some of these things and how God's name isn't treated that way any longer, is it? It's cussed on the job site, in the world, and TV, everywhere. They're always asking God to damn somebody. I wish they knew what that meant. And then the expectation. Thy kingdom come. There's an expectation. And how can people that are found in predominantly even Catholic churches and Episcopal churches and so on, if you're watching and you're a part of those churches, I'm sorry, but you know what? Sometimes we end up praying, and even we do as Baptists, we pray prayers that we just recite the words over and over and over again, and they just fly through without meaning. Expectation is thy kingdom is coming. How can someone who doesn't really, if unsaved people and so on, they keep praying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again, they're praying for a kingdom to come and they're not even saved. How dangerous is that? Today we're going to look at submission. Submission. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to look into the word briefly as we look into this. Father, we We know, Lord, that there is a submission. We have to be submissive to and submit to Thee, Lord, who has all the answers, who has the kingdom of God in our hands. And Lord, even though that we may pray, it's always going to be according to Your will, no matter what. We can pray all kinds of things, but unless it's lined up with You, unless it's lined up with our faith and our worship and our expectation and our submission and having a personal relationship, Lord, these things aren't going to happen. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to the message today that we'll be able to know much more about Your will to be done in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever tried to make it through life without a plan? We all have plans, right? We all have plans. I'm sure you've had some sort of calendar. I have my calendar in here somewhere. I don't know if it's in this coat or another coat, but I don't do well with electronic calendars. My phone, I don't do well. I don't follow. I have to have a paper one. You know, or on the page, write it down. I mean, I want it physical. I want to have it there. I have a calendar. Excuse me. I have a calendar upstairs in my office, and I have a calendar on the door of the closet. So when you walk by, I have things on the calendar. Every day has something on it, almost. And I just got to make sure, I got to remind this, 68-year-old brain that, you know what, you have a dentist appointment tomorrow. I don't like dentists. I had a lot of work with dentists, and I don't like going to dentists. I have a new theme song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. You know, it's just it's a horrible feeling when I sit in that chair. It's just like, oh, you're going to China, you know, with these things. So I hate it. But anyway, I have to have a pencil. I have to have something. I was a draftsman, so I'm a planner. You know, I had to plan for making buildings and stairways and all these things. And, you know, so I'm a planner. So I have to see it. I think with my pencil, you know, ever have one of those? I can write down in your thoughts all these things. You know, it's, for instance, our vacation cruise was planned long time ago, and that we're planning to take, and we want to take another one at next December. We want to do a transatlantic, because we've done a transatlantic cruise before. We love cruising. We've been to 20 countries or whatever places, and it's just a blessing to be able to go. And so when we do, if God allows, and we eventually get to that destination and back, we hope we're going to get back. We forget about, we plan in advance for those things. We make arrangements and so on. And we're going to fly out to Barcelona and then cruise back into the Bahamas and then fly home. And, so that's going to be sometime, we hope, in next December. I think it's December, right when the waters are getting rough, you know. So we try to keep self, you know, all the way through. So we have... We are planners. Planning is a good thing. We plan for payments for our homes or whatever, or cars or whatever. So I have to plan my payments. I don't want three payments in 1 week. You know, I don't like that very much. Or a visit from the kids or grandkids. You know how that goes. You say, oh yeah, we're going to have Christopher today, or next week, and we write it down and whatever. So, but where does God's will factor into our plans? Are we too quick to get absorbed into our own plans and our own expectations for tomorrow without properly considering considering God's sovereign will. Does God want me to do this? It's nice to be able to, you know, does he have plans for me today? You know, we all have as I said in my funeral message there, we all have an expiration date somewhere. Only God knows where that is, and that's all. I hope that he never, and you know, tells me when mine is, because I don't think I'd be walking by faith. I would be like not walking under ladders and, you know, doing things like that, and I would be a little bit more careful perhaps. I mean, I'm hopefully this spring I am going to be rollerblading again. You know, I like rollerblading. In North Adams area, we have the old rail trail, and it's all paved over, and it's 15 miles from point A to point B in Pittsfield, you know? And I love being able to, I do 15, but I don't go 15 and 15 because I'll die. But I take my time, and I put out some energy and kill calories, and I like exercising. I've been doing it now for 8 years, and I'm hopeful that I'm going to do it again this year, if you know what I mean, if something doesn't fall apart and break or whatever. And so we get carried away with our own plans, and we don't understand that maybe there's an accident at the corner of a schedule or an appointment somewhere, maybe on Appointment Street somewhere, you know, and failing to acknowledge God's supreme lordship over our lives is disrespectful when he's the one who grants us every breath from the moment that we live until the moment that we die. In some respects, the same respect as we carried over into our prayer lives, it's easy to get caught up into our own prayers, our own needs, our own concerns, and it's much easier just to turn them over to the will of God, and we should, because he is the all-wise God who looks at our lives, he looks at our souls, he knows us inside and out, he knows everything about us, he knows our requests already, and our entire lives must be insubordinate to his plan. You know, it's interesting to me how he wants us to pray, but he already knows in advance what we're going to pray about. Isn't that wild, you know? He already knows we're going to pray. Then why do you want us to pray? It's because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us, you know, it's like singing in the garden, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me we have a relationship going on here, you know? So notice in our text, when you pray, say, "Our Father, thy will be done." So my question this morning, have you surrendered to the will of God in your life? Have you surrendered to the will of God? You know, when Jesus in Luke 22, let's go to Luke 22 for a minute. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, Jesus says something here, and I want 41 to 43. He says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed." Now remember, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. So what does he do? Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus was looking for plan B. Have you ever thought that, you know, it would be a sin just to say, I don't want to go through this any longer. I'm sick and tired of it. Instead of being submissive to God's will. Many times I've wanted a plan B. You know, we have that surgery coming. We have this coming. We have some certain thing that's going. Is there another way? Is there another option? Or what should we do? Tough decisions to make. Even Jesus was looking for plan B, but notice he continues on. He says, and there appeared to him an angel and from him from heaven and strengthened him. And he being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Yeah, Jesus was going through a tough time. This was the first time that he was feeling the weight of the world of sin upon his life. I mean, not just your sins. We're talking about the sins of the whole world. Anybody who's ever lived on this world, you think you have problems. You think pastors are, you know, that pastors have the problems of praying for their individual people in their congregation, their families and everything. And pastors take the burden of those things upon themselves and pray and agonize over these things. And yet Jesus did it for the whole world. Imagine. For the first time, no wonder God turned his head. When he was in the place, and the world got dark when Jesus was on the cross, turned his head on his own son because he was becoming sin for us. He was paying for the sins and for our own sins so that we eventually would not have to. He felt that weight. So If it's good enough for the Son of God to pray this prayer to the Father, it must also be with us because he's our Father, which is in heaven. You will agree that most of our prayers are selfish in one way or another. We get selfish. I do. There's usually someone sick or someone bothering you or you give God your shopping list of things to do, you know, like you do with Alexa. Alexa, put water on the shopping list, you know, and all of a sudden, I put water on the shopping list, you know. And then you just walk out with your phone, go to the store, you know, and think, thank you, Alexa. Thanks for check it off and whatever, you know. Yeah, I use her a lot. Sometimes I have to be careful not to use that name in conversation because she... All of a sudden, she's going around like this, you know, wondering, you know, what are you talking about? And nosy things. But sometimes we get ourselves into trouble doing our own will instead of doing it God's way. It's like we get ourselves into it and expect God to get us out of it. Well, we stepped on this one. In John, 1 John 5:14, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his, what's be the next word? Will. According to his will, he hears us. Yeah, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. He's going to answer if it's according to his will. Yeah, we can pray all day. We've been praying for 9 months or so for Lucas. God, please heal him. He did. He healed him. He brought him into heaven with himself. He is healed. There's no more pain. There's no more cancer. There's no more, you know, and now he can speak for the first time in his 9 years. He's probably going to have a lot to say to God in 9 years that he couldn't talk. So he's going to really give it now this time. And then, you know, there's just, he's healed. My dad was healed last year when he went to the kingdom of God from his lung cancer. You know, we forget that that's how God brings us through our trials, because it's time. You know, he says, we'll never give you any more than you can handle. Well, apparently that was it. And he was healed. That's what we can look forward to, even on that part of it. Many times in the gospel, Jesus made the statement that his time had not yet come. Remember those times, you know, they tried to kill him. They tried to push him off a cliff and so on. And he would just get through there. And it's because his time had not yet come. Well, another attempt was made on his life, or a miracle, but God's will was not for that situation to happen. And then at the close of his life, we hear him say at that time, his time has become to fulfill all righteousness. It had come. So what do you suppose why that prayer was not going to be answered for you, that you've been praying for years? Because your time hasn't come. It may not come, but we already know that God answers three ways, one way or the other. It's either yes, no, or wait. Always. There are some hindrances of prayer. There's 11 hindrances of prayer. Number one, I'm not going to get into all of these only because of time consuming. But number one, and if you write them down in your, in, you know, in your bulletin or whatever it is, number one is the unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin in Psalm 66:18. God cannot answer if we have sins that we haven't confessed. He wants us to be upright and upfront with him. Second one is insincerity in Matthew 6:5. Insincerity. You know, sometimes we just don't, we're insincere about the things our prayers become more, you know, I don't know, they just become like little chants, you know? They become habitual, you know? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, do this, the other thing, throw God our laundry list, do this to this person, help this person, give me this thing, whatever, you know, and it's just like, that's not even prayer. Might as well give it to Alexa. Third thing is carnal motives in James 4:3. Carnal motives. Because, yeah, there are some things that we think that are important, and it's going to be more of a gain for us instead of being a blessing for someone else. Yeah, God wants us to have all things, and he makes it very clear, but if it's going to be a carnal thing, he's withholding that. Unbelief is the fourth one, James 1, 5, and 6. Unbelief. We just don't believe. Sometimes we don't believe it can be so, or we don't have a belief in us, you know, and just we pray foolish things. And maybe I want to go to James, on the one on James. James 1. James chapter 1, 5 and 6. When he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to men, all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. You know, you're up 1 minute, down the next. You know, your faith is wavering.
Yeah.
Unbelief. It's really unbelief. Satanic activity, number five. You say satanic activity? Yeah, there. You know, we can't pray with, you know, when you are trying to, God doesn't want any false gods before us. Amen? And so, yeah, so when we're praying, we're trying to look for the future, we're looking at our horoscopes, and we're looking at, you know, getting our palms red. I never get my palm red. I like it. Sometimes I get them green. I have a green thumb, but I never get it red. And so there's, you know, when we're starting to do things that are, you know, against the will of God, we're not going to have our prayers answered. A sixth thing is domestic problems. Domestic problems. I mean, if we can't even have good fellowship with our family and with our spouses, God is not going to get those prayers. That's 1 Peter 3:7. Domestic problems. Pride is another one. And in Luke 18, pride. Who's the author of pride?
Satan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what killed him. But you know what? There's an awful lot of people that are in there. They're awful prideful, especially. Well, look at some of these guys on, these preachers on TV and stuff. I mean, if I have to live in a house that is a huge mansion, all kinds of money, what am I telling the congregation? What am I telling them? That, yeah, the more people that I can come into the sheepfold, the more of a tithe or the more money that I can get as a, you know, and have a bigger house, a bigger car, whatever it is. I'm not telling anything. I'm anything that I have goes back into missions. It goes in because I'm a mission-minded person. I enjoy the will of God and teaching the will of God and preaching and trying to see other people do the ministry as well. You know, it's just, I remember starting out as a pastor. It was how to determine a salary. Ever figure that out? How do they tell? I mean, as a, you know, you guys are looking for a pastor and so on. Whatever the congregation is making, average it out. Why not? If he's there to preach. I don't think I made a lot of friends with pastors if they're watching today. But you know, what you feel like everybody else. And you know, you're going to be receiving the same compensation. Why not? I mean, it's the will of the people. Again, refusing to submit to biblical teaching is another one. Refusing to forgive others to forgive. We're going to be talking about that next time. Forgiving others. You don't get your prayers answered. And refusing to help the needy. When we have to be up front with God. These are things that, this is how things are, prayers are not answered. See, the situation we're praying about may hurt us in some way, and God sees that future. We must be in prayer and consult God and get his approval on this. Reading the Bible on a daily basis. It's required. How do you know what the will of God is if you don't even know what the will of God is? That's how he speaks to us. You know, pray with your Bible open, knowing that what God says. I have many times have gone to God and says, God, you said this. And I pointed the scripture, says, God, you said this. And this is my need right now. Gone to him. In 1 John 5:15, it says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we say, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Praying specifically, two prayers that really stand out was one is for a woman of a friend of mine in New Hampshire, Marilyn Lindstrom. A second one was Aaron on a vent when he was, my son Aaron, when he was on life support for for 4 months. And I was praying, 10 weeks earlier would be the answer to that prayer. I had to, that woman in Marilyn Lindstrom, as I mentioned in my book, she had cancer. And I went to her and I prayed with her, and she was stage 4 cancer. I don't know what kind of cancer it was, but all I know is that, you know, she was very sick. And she and I prayed. I says, I'm going to pray that you get up, that you get well, and you walk out of this, that you walk out of this hospital. Well, her kids were there, and we knew each other beforehand. We grew up with each other practically, and they says, and she was the daughter was very, very angry. When I said that, she says, you know that mom is stage 4. She's not going to walk out of here. Says, I don't know why I said that, Debbie. I really have no idea why I said that. I just know that God can. Well, it was 3 weeks, and then it was 6 weeks. And then we kept going back and forth and praying and so on. She walked out of there within 8 weeks. Cured. And up until that was 30 years ago. So up until last year when I talked to her last, she was still alive. So this wasn't anything new. This wasn't, and it's just, these things happen all the time. I remember James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the winds and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Someone who wavers is like the sea is doubtful. Uncontrollable thoughts and is inconsistent. Another part of prayer is to expect a blessing. Expect it. In Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Have assurance that your Heavenly Father will give you these things. Have boldness in your prayers. Boldness. Don't be afraid to pray boldly. He wants us to pray boldly. I've experienced it. You know, pray until you get an answer. The answer may be no. It may be no. Push to verify. Push in the door. See if it opens. I remember wanting to leave a job because of the conditions of the people on the job. So I prayed. God eventually used me to witness to that individual, and that individual got saved, and the job situation got a lot better. You know? Sometimes we have to change. So the answer to the prayer was no, because God had me there for another reason. So what is 8 things that we should pray for? Number one, ourselves. Pray for ourselves in the will of God. Secondly, pray for one another, as we should. Thirdly, pray for pastors, because they really have a lot that goes into their hearts, and they do a lot for, you know, they get the calls. They can get calls 24 hours a day. You know, you got to go to the hospital, whatever it is, and whatever, you know, what, I don't know. It just is, pastors pray for other pastors too, let me tell you, because pastors don't have a lot of friends sometimes. Because sometimes the things that they pray for or they preach on, and then their people are leaving because you offended me, you know. So it's hard to be a leader. Pray for sick believers. Praying for our rulers. Praying for our enemies. Because if they get saved, they're no longer your enemy, are they? These are all for the will of God. Praying for Israel. Praying for our future. And then 1 Timothy 2:1, praying for all men. Pray for everyone. You know, praying for them. Prayer. When ye pray, pray, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Amen.